felt in prayer, heard in prayer. Maybe it was something in a conversation between two believers that the Spirit of God began to prevail in word and reveal and speak towards a situation. Well, that's just as prophetic as somebody standing up and saying, "Thus saith the Lord." And so, there are also, we've talked about the idea that there are sometimes seasons of time that follow that, that of course are immeasurable. We felt very strongly from the Lord, this is going to happen. And so, boy, we like to mark that on a calendar. A couple months out, a couple weeks maybe. And sometimes weeks turn into months and years. And sometimes many years. And sometimes we forget all about it. Or we just let it go. So much time passes, it's like, maybe that was a figment of my imagination. And of course, there were men in Scripture that wondered, no doubt, because they were as human as you and I. But yet we watch in time and we see things fulfilled that we look back on and think, do you remember? I like to have dialogue. I like to have conversation. I like to share. Hey, man, I felt something the other day, and I'll share something with somebody, and there'll be a certain amount of witness there, and then I hope to wait for the day that it happens. And then we see it, we say, remember that? Well, let me go back, 22 years, approximately. That's not very long. We'd been in Puyallup for just, a year or two. Must have been at least two or three, maybe, because we met Pastor Johnson in Poulsbo, Washington. We became friends. Not real deep friends, but we were friends, acquaintances, and in ministry, we developed the confidence because he started making some trips at various times. I think it was work-related, but he would ask me, would you come and cover the service for me? Now, you have to understand, Brother and Sister Johnson had started a small work in Poulsbo, and sometimes there were only two or three people besides him and his family. But it was important to him, and so it was important to me that he would ask me, so I would go. And I remember one particular time, I think it was just Sister Johnson, maybe the kids, and one other lady. And the Spirit of God manifested himself. It's so amazing. Small group of people, kind of an empty room. And we're trying to make something out of it so we can call it church. And the Spirit of God manifested itself in a way that I remember telling her, the Lord is going to use you to win souls. The Lord is going to make a soul winner out of you somehow. I just felt impressed to communicate it. And did, probably several times. And then I made some kind of an indication that I felt like our paths are going to cross again. And I didn't think it was going to be there. And it wasn't. And so those two elements were spoken that day in a small group of people. And then years passed. And we weren't involved over there. Matter of fact, Pastor Johnson passed away, had cancer, passed away. His wife moved to Montana, and I don't know where the kids are, but there was no more contact until one night in Wapato. This lady walks in. Her name's Toni Fogley. One night she walks in, and lo and behold, she'd gotten hired by Sundown M Ranch out in Sela, which is an alcohol chemical treatment situation. She's a counselor. And so here she moves over the mountains from Poulsbo. She's in working in Sela, And she's now coming to church in Wapato, so there's this reconnect. Well, in the process of her working there now several years, they have granted her a lot of liberty. When she has a group that's there, I don't know how many weeks, but I think it's the week or so before they leave and go home, they allow for them to go to church with her. So just about every week, she's got four different people new at the church, and they come, and they're young, and they come in, and they're wide-eyed, boy, and they're watching, and they're listening, and then you just don't know what's going to happen that night. But last Wednesday, she had a group that was there, but not only was her group there, there was a young man in the community that had gone out there, and what became connected to her, had a confidence, well, she's our neighbor. I mean, he's our neighbor. Down the road, and his grandparents are our neighbors across the street. So we're close to this family. Well, now he comes, you know, he told his grandfather, I'm going to Larry's church now. Now, his grandfather, they're pretty, been involved all their days in the Seventh-day Adventist church in town. And so that was quite a statement for him to make in the front seat of the car. I'm going to Larry's church now. Well, I heard him make the statement, but I just didn't know if he would keep showing up. And he keeps showing up. And so now he feels connected to Tony. And you got to understand what I saw Wednesday night. It was Tony sitting back there with her four and Garrett sitting there on the seat in front of them, kind of teamed up with Tony, trying to reach out and help these four guys that was with her. Sometimes it's four guys, sometimes it's four girls. And so Caleb, he's in charge. He's going to open the service, Caleb Flowers. So he opens the service, and I've got notes. I'm thinking I'm going to teach. Brother Hart's out of town. And I said to Caleb, I said, Caleb, call on Martin. Ask him just to take 3 minutes. So he calls on Martin and asks him, well, he didn't tell him the 3 minute part. And Caleb said, you know, I had a scripture that I meant to read last week, and I didn't. I wondered, could I read it tonight? Sure. He opens the book, and he starts going down through these scriptures. And as he's going down, he starts teaching. And he goes on, and he goes on, and he's connecting with those guys back there. And I'm standing on the sidelines, and I'm just thinking, this is the way it ought to be. This is the way it should be. As a matter of fact, when it got to my portion, I left my notes on the pew, and I just followed off where Martin went and kept reaching. Now, with that picture in mind, let me go to the scripture with you. I want to talk to you about the biblical concept of team ministry. Okay? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. These are familiar portions of Scripture, and you know how it is when we read familiar portions of Scripture? Sometimes we just kind of quote them in our mind, and we almost recite through it. We don't often pay attention to actually what it's saying or what it's maybe not saying, but can be seen in the terminologies and the words, and also considering the ones that are speaking them. So Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. Sunday I talked about the call of God, the supernatural intervening, God reaching, God selecting, God choosing, and using supernatural events to affirm to those he's calling, and us, the readers, to have that understanding. And so this scripture starts by saying, he gave The Lord gave. So how does he give? He just, you know, plop them, drop them. No, we know from what we heard Sunday was he calls them. And then it is my belief that he affirms them. So he gave some apostles. What is an apostle? We read last week that he took of the disciples and he selected out 12 of them and he named them apostles. Sometimes we use terminology such as apostolic authority. And I would suspect that that may refer to things like when the seven sons of Sceva tried to cast out devils. The devil said, Paul I know, Jesus I know, you I don't know. And so in the sense of spiritual authority, there has to be a spiritual recognition, I guess, a spiritual discerning. We may see an individual speak, and we may say of them, well, they seem to have spiritual authority. I don't know why it is that we feel like we need to say that, but we do from time to time. But let's go back to this term apostle. We know that the word itself means to be sent. Well, we also read that in order for somebody to believe, they had to hear from a preacher that was sent of God. Right? We also know and read last week or Sunday that the Holy Ghost separated out, spoke to the individuals that were in a setting, a gathering, and said, separate me out, these two individuals. I have a work that I want them to do. And then the Bible says that they were sent of the Holy Ghost. So they weren't commissioned by a group or any other references than what we read. I like to get my stuff from here. I like to get as much as I can right here. I can't get everything here. I try. As a newborn believer in the kingdom and reading through the book of Acts, I experience frustration and times of frustration when I look at this and think, how does this fit this? And would attempt to reconcile, and some things I didn't try to reconcile. I just waited for enough time to pass that maybe some of that stuff could be discarded. While in submission to my pastor, I submitted. I went along. Even if there was something that I questioned or didn't understand, I assumed I didn't understand. And I went along. But when it came to a point in time when I had to give answers for myself, then I would go back to here. I couldn't draw from references of what somebody told me or somebody taught me, or I didn't have any of that. And I'd rather not. I don't know everything. That's easy to tell. But I want to know where to go and look and find and look at the examples. It was Bishop Wright that determined the term. It was actually pause, not pause. He's always digging us because we say pause, that pause meaning. It's not pause, it's pause. Anyway, I said, yeah, but I'm learning Spanish. That's peace. Paz de Cristo. So they had a workout in Eastern Washington. So, pause. But what that word meant was all-encompassing, and for the basis of the meeting, it was all things apostolic. In other words, let's do all that we can that we can term apostolic or like the apostles did in the Word of God. So this makes the book of Acts very important to us. And this makes the defining of terminologies and I remember when the word saved was overused. Mostly when I was in the Nazarene church. As a boy. Are you saved?
They're like,
are you saved? So-and-so got saved. But then you ask them to define, so what are you talking about? And then when they defined it, it was like, but where, you know, how do you reconcile that with this? And so going there myself, and Bishop Wright recently wrote, an, I don't know if I call it an article, but anyway, he did some writing and sent it to a few different individuals, and I was one of them. But he talked about the ideal that the teacher is the one that learns the most. Now, if you've taught, you understand that. That's the truth. If you've taught, you know, teacher learns the most. And I think there's two processes that are, in, that are involved in that that are strong factors to why. Number one, the articulation through the brain, the process of brain to communicate and persuade does something to engraft it. All right? Talk to the Lord. Teach me tonight, Lord. Talk to me. Lead me. Guide me. I'm your son. I'm your daughter. I'm your child. Lead me, Father, tonight. Direct my life as an individual. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We wait upon you, submitted to you. Let your word be opened afresh in our minds tonight. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I could easily get sidetracked off into the communication of those notes, and I'm not going to do that. Let's go back now. Ephesians chapter 4 and 11. He gave some apostles. It goes on to say, and we could say, he gave some prophets. Two different words must be distinctive one of another. He is drawing a distinction, one from another. He could have said believers and encompassed them. But he's drawing attention to something that they facilitate in the kingdom. There's something that an apostle facilitates in the kingdom of God, in the church that he said he would build in the earth. And a prophet facilitates something in the kingdom of God, in the church of the living God, for the purpose of edifying or building up the body of Christ. Right? And so I'm going to assume that the fact that he used two words here, that one brought one segment of edification, and another one brought another segment of edification. So now I'm two-dimensional in my belief, at least. I've got the dimension of an apostle ministering to me. I've got the dimension of a prophet ministering to me. Well, let's go on. Okay, so he gave some evangelists. And so the dimension or the ministry of an evangelist in the body. He's given these all, matter of fact, in one setting here. It must have a dimension of ministry to me that will help me, that will edify me. Now, he gave some pastors, shepherds. He gave some teachers. Now, I bolded them in my notes here. He didn't bold them. He didn't call one out and say, okay, look, this is one's the most important, and then there's this one, and this one. He just says, look, I gave these things all into the body of Christ for the perfecting of the saints, for the edifying of the minister, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So these various dimensions of ministry. We know later on, different areas, he gives a lot longer list. Giftings, helps, administrations, and basically saying the same thing. These things are operative within the body of Christ for the building up, for the edifying, but it's something that works together. Agree? So, multi-dimensional ministry. Ministry and giftings relative to calling. No carbon copies here. Individual, distinctive, in that sense, individual. Jesus taught, listen to me, a team concept. John chapter 4, verse 35. Ready? Say not ye, let's wait, I'm going to wait. John 4, 35, there you go. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look in the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit life unto life eternal. That both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is the saying true. One soweth, another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereupon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored and you entered into their labor. Members one of another. Interrelated. Connected. But where are we going to throw the credit? The sower? Where are you going to throw the credit? Okay, so I'm not really asking you specifically. But what is the typical? The reaper! Man, what are they doing down there? Let's find out. Oh, they're having a growth seminar. Let's go attend. The book says they're together. The book says there's not one without the other. Okay. Do you believe it? So why do you judge yourself? When you hear about some guy that's winning all these souls, have you not shared? Have you not witnessed? Have you not Bible studied? I know many in this room have. Yet we look to situations that are broadcasted and we think, man, what's wrong with me? Yet those guys, whoever they are, the fictitious, entered into another man's labor. Okay, let's go a little further. I sent you to read the word. Oh, read that all. Okay. Philip, a deacon. Remember this? Remember the guys, you know? No, I didn't even get all that background. Philip sowed the seed in Samaria. He did miracles. The Lord used him in miracles. He baptized many. He couldn't get any of them filled with the Holy Ghost.
Guy must not be spiritual. He just doesn't have that gift.
He just doesn't have that anointing on his life. He's just a word guy. He ministered the word. God manifested himself in power. He baptized the majority of the,
what's called Samaria in this
setting. And not one. Acts 8:14. When the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent them Peter and John.
What are you doing nosing into my thing down here? This is my area. You guys think you're better than me? I know you're apostles, but I'm a deacon. I'm a believer in the body of Christ. All these people got baptized. I've cast out devils. People been getting healed. I don't need you.
Who sent you? The superintendent? He didn't call me.
Hey, conversations happen, I'm telling you. They happen.
And in the mindset of men, that's where they're formed. Who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Sometimes you just got to get the evangelist to come in. Pray them all through. Do you hear how human that is? God places in the body. He gives gifts unto men. And we are members one of another. I don't want us to ever lose that concept. When they would come down and pray for them, they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet, he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them. They had special hands. And they received the Holy Ghost. Now listen to this. Jesus convicted, healed, and delivered many through the giftings operating in the life of Philip. Jesus filled nobody with the Holy Ghost in Samaria while Philip was ministering. Jesus filled many with the Holy Ghost in Samaria while Peter and John were ministering. How would we see that today? Verbalize that. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 12 at verse 4. I believe this scripture. I believe what it's telling me. I believe what it's teaching me. I believe what I have seen evidenced in the body as it lines up with what I read in the Word. I don't have to somehow wrangle it to figure out how. How? Okay, verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. I thought that was beautiful Sunday as we waited on the Lord. And at the end, tongues began to come forth and we waited. Now, I'll tell you from my vantage point. Sometimes you hear spiritually, sometimes you see spiritually. I was doing both when I was looking at Sister Sherry Bryant standing there. I knew it was coming. We just needed to wait. And we did. And it came. And God did what? He affirmed his word. That's a body working together. That's a body ministering and flowing together from the opening prayer to the worship. Do you realize? I'm going to think about this a lot. We open up our services and we have somebody who coordinates the worship effort. They can't do the whole worship effort because it involves ministers. Minister on the bass. Minister on the drum. Ministering. Minister on the keyboard. Let's see, what else we got up here? Who? What? Was there somebody on there? I don't think. Point being, you got, and praise singers up there. It has been said, they are tight. It has been said just a week ago to me, they are so cohesive. Well, that's an interesting description. The point being, they are so unified in what they're doing, not just in ability, but in surrender and ministry. That not one of them could accomplish it alone. They're all anointed. They're all believers. Not one could accomplish what they're doing together alone. And there's times they take us places, don't they? I'm a believer in team ministry. But the man, verse 7, that the manifestation, well, did I read verse 6? There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. When two individuals walk in the Spirit or minister in the Spirit, these two gifts complement each other. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. I wonder why Paul here is feeling the need, and he is so emphatic as he's sharing, you know, to a group of people. To one is given the gift of knowledge, and to another the gift of wisdom. But with every assertion or statement, he has to come right behind it and say, by the same Spirit. He's saying, there ain't nobody operating here alone, but by the Spirit of God, one Spirit, the same Spirit. These things are being accomplished and functioning together for the building up, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And he's involving a lot of people. Where in the world did they get this clergy laity concept? I know, it's the Catholic Church. Sorry. Where it started. And a lot followed.
To another, working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. So this is why we have said, if ministering brethren are pursuing God in prayer and in communion before the time of assembling together, there's one Spirit. There's one voice. This is why you can have 3, 4, 5 speakers in a meeting. And there be one flow. If that's what they're in pursuit of. It's not always the case. Stop that right there. These all worketh with one by the selfsame Spirit dividing to every man. Okay, it is. I just said that. We're continuing. Verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. This is why we reference the body of Christ as Spirit-filled believers, not the assembly. Souls gather into assemblies. The body of Christ is not an assembly. The body of Christ is not a church. The body of Christ is Spirit-filled in the earth, and they have one head. And there's one Spirit that causes everything to operate synonymously. At the same time, synchronized together. We call it flow simultaneously. That's the end of the same thing. Yeah. I think that one at school. This is a beautiful truth. Okay. For by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, have been all made to drink into one Spirit. That's what breaks down the middle wall of partition. That's what brings us together, member one of another. That's what links us. That's what bonds us. It's not a nationality. It's not where we're from. I mean, you can even have a blend of people from the south and the north. If they're in the Spirit.
The Holy Spirit.
For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not the body, is it therefore not of the body? What in the world is the hand saying something like this anyway? Because the hand wants to be independent.
I mean, he's asking the question. Why would the hand say, I got no need of the eye or the nose or the foot? Because the hand wants to be independent. What problem?
You don't have an arm, you don't have a leg, you don't have a foot. You ain't going nowhere, you ain't doing nothing, and you're a hand!
Cry for independence. Self-made. My own man. My own hand. If the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body. body is therefore not of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where were they hearing if the whole body were?
If we were all alive.
Where were the smelling? If these are portions in the body, and portions in the body are also to minister, then the independent minister is a single dimension minister. Self-absorbed, short-sighted. God and self. Verse 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. I like you next to you. And I wish I could get you next to you. Why do you always want to be so independent one of another? I typed in a few notes, I'm just going to read them to you. Do you see any of man's personal direction in this? Any of man's thoughts and ideas? The body is a spiritual entity, not just a congregation. Those not yet alive unto God, are they in that body? Well, sometimes our terminology is an archaic. This is the need for spiritual birth as a beginning, but spiritual life as a pursuit. Why did Paul say, walk not in the flesh, but in the spirit? Live a life in the spirit. Have a communion daily with God. Fellowship with him, ongoing.
Pray without ceasing. It's how we have this. Live it, experience it, and be it.
Let me tell you what that flies in the face of. Doing all we can to amassing numbers to assemble, to label, to own. I love the analogy in scripture that the Lord gave. As he acted it out in life. Peter! Cast the net down on the right side.
I've been fishing all night long. I am beat. I am so tired. I've been fishing all my life.
Oh, check my attitude.
Nevertheless!
Because everybody's watching me and they heard me say, too, I'm going to do it. And he casts the net down on the right side. And he takes up a draught of fish. And he is blown away because he had toiled all night long doing nothing, doing it his way. Being led of his own direction, own accord. And one word from God.
You think God could do that?
Or do you think he's left it to us to just figure it out? Nope. You under pressure? Hope not. Just wait. When I get tired of waiting. When he says move, move. When he says do, do. Okay. lost my place again. They were all one member, we were the body, but now there are many members in the one body. And the eye, we were there. We are interrelated. We are, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the hand to the feet, I have no need of thee. We are interrelated. We are interdependent. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. I thought we were putting together the dream team. Those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need. But God has tempered the body together. I want you, Mr. Comely, to be connected to Mr. Uncomely. We let him define what,
who and what and all that.
But he's tempered them together in the body. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. That's for sure. One member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you're all the body of Christ and members in particular. And God, now, we're still in the same reading here. Okay. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings and helps and governments and diversities of tongues, and he forgot to say pastors. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, does everybody need to become a pastor? Oh, didn't say that. I'm being facetious, but I'm trying to put a bright light on what we have done in our world. It's not service as well as we think. Covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. I don't know. I think it was under the Johnson. I've been for the heart ministered on this one night. Because you leave here and you go right into chapter 13, and the more excellent way is love. He's talking about the giftings here. The operation of the giftings of the body, but saying there's even a greater way, and that is chapter 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I have nothing. Which we're not going to read. Mark chapter 6 and 7. And he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth by two and two, and gave them power over the spirits. I find it interesting in reading portions in the scripture that it seems like the Lord was often teaming people together. You know, the man Christ Jesus pulled some aside and said, look, I want you two to go, you two to go, you two to go, you two, you two. So he was always teaming, if we can call them ministries, together. And then it was, of course, in Antioch, where the Holy Ghost separated out two. I want you two guys to go and make a journey, and I have a plan. Acts chapter 13 and 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, and we read this, Holy Ghost separate me out, Barnabas and Saul. Acts 14 and 19. There came thither, you're not getting tired of this, are you? Okay? I don't have a whole lot more to go, but I do have some. Acts 14:19. Now, you notice I didn't apologize. to help you. There came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. When they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord, on whom they believed. And after they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. The choice of terminologies in Scripture I find interesting. And personally, I try to become more aware and, to the best of my ability, use scriptural and biblical terminologies and where they fit. I think about this when I think about Bible study, text sharing a Bible study, leading somebody in the Bible, you know, starting from, you got to recognize that we have a need of redemption. We have sin in our life. Everybody has sin in their life. It's sin about having a better life. I remember when I first came to God, I thought I was persuading people just to have a better life than the drugging and the drinking. That's not what it was about. I didn't fix everything. Matter of fact, there were a lot of things that weren't better. Didn't seem to be better. But I was redeemed. And so every man has the need to be redeemed. That's an important word. Purchased, bought back, price paid for my sin. Wages of sin or death. And so, starting point, I want somebody to know you need to be redeemed. Not just have a better life. Not just feel the power of God. It all starts with redemption. The application of the blood. So how do we apply the blood? I've got to know. You've got to know. How do we show somebody? There's an application of the blood, and it started in the Old Testament where they killed animals and they shed the blood, sprinkled it on the altar, put it on the graves of labor, then on the mercy seat. They cleansed everything with blood because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. That's a really an easy, quick little Bible study. And then I need to be washed. I need to be buried. Because Paul said the gospel is, 1 Corinthians 15, death, burial, resurrection. Okay, let's kill you. Let's get you buried. Let's get you back up. Application, Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter said, I've sat down with some young people at the house at times and asked them, so, what do you tell somebody? How do you lead them in the scripture? This is something we got to know. This ain't just about going to church and having a great service. There's people that need to be redeemed. They need to be purchased with his blood. Okay, so that'll be the next lesson when I come back. Bible study. Now, terminologies in the scripture. I'm going to use biblical references. I'm not going to use what's current, relevant, what people like to use and say. The hot buzzwords of today in religion. I don't care about anything.
You know what I recognize?
The closer to literal truth you can get in the word,
it just seems like God's anointing. The further away you want to distance from that and slide in and make it easy and, you know, appealing and cool, it's shallow. It's almost like God leaves the room. But this is a trend. in the hour that we're living in.
Okay. So, verse 23, continuing the reading of that setting, and when they had ordained them elders in every church, had prayed with fastings and commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. Titus 1 and 1. We've got two more scriptures, I think. Two settings. Titus 1 and 1. Paul, a servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. To Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, peace from God the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. For this cause left I thee in Crete. In other words, this is the reason I left you there. Sorry, buddy. That thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting. Things that are not right. They need to be made right. I need you to make it right. And ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. Oh, kind of back to that oversight thing. The appointment from oversight. Not the aspiring and the desire. You know, God can put it in the heart of a man to aspire to follow him. And he can cause the moment to collide on the road with oversight. That brings it into being. That's what happened when Saul met Samuel on that road. Now, it's probably a stretch saying that Saul was desiring of all that. Sorry, I'll go back and take that part. Oh, I got to finish reading this. For this cause I left thy thee in Crete, for thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unbelief. For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine or drinker, nor given to filthy lucre. So in this setting of the scripture, verses 5 and verses 7 are describing the same thing. When he says, he gives these reference of a bishop, he's also giving the reference of an elder because in this sense, it's the same. So these terminologies, they are used interchangeably. I'm an elder. I'm a bishop. In this particular setting, there were places where elders were appointed over churches. They would also be referenced as pastors at times. That's the terminology we chose to use in a lot of Christendom, and specifically the United States Church, with the exception of me. I see so many references in the scripture to elders, and I have watched, listen to me, I have watched the pursuit of men. And what it's done to them and done to the kingdom of God. When it inflames their egos, just like the Pharisees, they broaden their phylacteries. It's all about what they wear. This is why you have people saying, well, you look like a preacher.
What's that mean? You got a suit and tie on? So did the insurance salesman.
I'm just telling you, I've been around long enough. I've seen some things that have negatively affected and divided
almost weekly. Almost weekly, I'm hearing of some saying, I am so alone. I'm so alone as a pastor. Because in their concept of structure, they divided from the flock to try to start a flock. And now it's illegal to fellowship with the flock. I went through it. You know how many
destroy too many. I was tempted to have Brother Loxamon here tonight to testify to you the changes that they've experienced in the last 6 to 8 months. Positive. I'm just saying. And the people that contacted us at the conference, inquiring, wanting to know, what is it that you guys are doing?
Well, you know what's really you want to do anything? Trying to do what we're supposed to.
But we've adjusted a few things. Okay? Just explaining it here. Just trying to explain it.
But I'm at it.
There were men that came to the conference that said, what is it that you're doing that's produced this? In other words, the two speakers that were in the meeting and the ministry that they observed. I couldn't come up with an answer because there is no short answer. I said, you know, and reaching for something. Well, it kind of all starts with what Brother Hart ministered on the other morning. Pursuing God in prayer in a place of communion and fellowship to the place that there's an outflow of ministry of the Spirit that gives answers and meets need for the now.
If I get too emphatic here, just, you know, give me the sign. My blood's not boiling.
But I am climbing the ladder. Okay. One more scripture. Acts 15:21. For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath.
What's he saying? You know, we're kind of getting tired.
Then pleased it the apostles and pastors. With the whole church. I'm telling you, I think Paul had a thing against pastors. He didn't hardly ever use their hand here. Did you find it?
I don't know what it is. He may have.
He needs counsel. With the whole church, to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch, and with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. And they wrote letters by them after this manner, the apostles and elders and brethren. Send greeting unto the brethren, which are of the Gentiles in Antioch, Syria, Cilicia. Oh, and tell the pastors. Oh, wait, no, he said that and tell Peter. Now,
I'm going to leave that alone. Okay? But
does anybody have an inkling of what I'm feeling and talking about? And what I have desperately tried to disassemble among us?
Our associations. Okay.
Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your printed word. I thank you for your inspired word. The inspiration that we feel here tonight. Thank you for the truth of your word. I trust you as my Savior. I trust you as my God. I love you. I believe you. I pray your leading in our lives. I pray your continued leading in our lives. In the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Thank you.
please.